Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast, and I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. Thank God for all you that are listening to this broadcast. And once again, doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at, doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at an email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So, amen, it's another blessed Friday. For those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, you know what that means. Heart to heart. We're brotherly in the handmaidens. And as we wait for my brother to join us, let us go into prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, once again, we're grateful for another golden opportunity you have given us to assemble together. We're grateful, Lord God, that you are God and that there's none beside you and that no one can do what you have done. No one possesses the power that you have, Lord God. Therefore, Lord, we know that you are the all-wise one. You're Lord omnipotent. You're all-powerful. And this day, Lord God, we pray for our brothers and sisters in other countries who are being killed for the kingdom of God's sake, being persecuted, being afflicted in all manners, because of their faith in you. I am grateful that their reward will be greater than what they're suffering. But I call on your angels of the Lord to protect them. I pray today, Lord God, that you would deliver them, Lord God, today by your supernatural power out of pitfalls that have been planned by the enemy. All things that man has seek to design against them to destroy and try to break their faith. Lord God, you told us that we will be tried. And Father, we come to understand and know that you are God and that you know what you're saying. So Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask, Lord God, that you would bless your people all over. And those once again who have been suffering for your kingdom's sake, the Lord God, that you would touch them. And Lord, give them the confirmation in their spirit that you're with them. And Father, I pray that for those who even been martyred for your sake, that God, that their lives were a living testimony of Christ Jesus. That it will cause sinners who will behold it to be saved. Father, in the name of Jesus, that as they had carried the gospel, that the seed that they have sown will be watered by you and bring forth the increase. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we need you today. We need you evermore, Lord God. In this time today, Lord God, we need, Lord God, of the touch of your hand. Someone is crying out to you today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Someone is desiring to be saved. Lord God, in Jesus' name, let your word, whether through the mouth of your servants or whether you speak to them personally, Father, cause this thing to be in the name of Jesus. Lord God, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, touch right now, Lord, and restore. Restore your people, Lord God. Cause the faith, the saints, to be restored in the name of Jesus. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Shalom, shalom, brother. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So we honor the Lord Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. And all the people that are listening far and broad, this is Handmaidens special night. We honor the handmaiden missionaries of women around the world in every place. So how is the weather blowing there, Durant, Mississippi?
Well, fall has almost set in. It was cooler temperatures some days ago. Then it kind of rose up a little bit in the heat. We've been getting plenty of rain. Trust me, plenty of rain. We've been getting a lot of that. And but one thing, as I say about Mississippi, if you do not have enough water in your body, Mississippi will make sure you know it. The humidity, as the young folks say, is off the chain. Okay, so you ain't got enough water, you'll be walking sideways, brother.
Well, you know, a lot of nations down in the world, in certain parts of the world, you know, have droughts and famine, and they're suffering much. And this goes on mostly from year to year. And so they know really certain parts of, I know that certain parts of Asia and Africa and South America often suffer some terrific drought and famine. So they know what it's all about. We don't really know too much about it. We are blessed, and we have all basically the water we can have, even though there is a lot of poison and pollution in our waterways and becoming so polluted that even the animals and the whales are coming out of the ocean. The oil spills and all the other poison and toxins that have been, you know, being poured into our waterways. And I think that when the Bible talks in Revelation that the earth will be polluted, this is the probably because of the greed of capitalism. And so the soil and the water is suffering from this corrupt and greed and poisoning the air and the earth and the water. And we see the consequences of man's greed.
Amen. Amen. I agree with you, brother, 100%. It's becoming more evident, brother, and people are doing it without any remorse, brother.
Well, you know, you got to understand what Paul talks about a lot when he says the love of money or the love of wealth or the whatever the love of power, control and wealth, or the love, the insatiable appetite to worship wealth and riches is the root. Paul said it's the root cause of all evil. So, you know, you can see the root cause, especially in capitalist America. Even though America is so blessed, abundantly blessed of God, greed has taken over, corruption has taken over much. And so it has caused this backlash of environmental pollution, which we are suffering conditions, sickness from all this polluted air, all kind of breathing conditions, the water polluted, we're getting all kind of cancer from the from the water waves, toxins and nuclear waste, and so spills, and so our water wheels mostly are polluted. Only a few waterways in America that are clean. Now you can imagine, brother, we got to drink this water, you know.
Yeah.
remember, we got to drink. We got to drink. The rain is coming down from the outcast of the greenhouse effect, which our president, he don't want to. Our president, he don't want to recognize the environment pollution or change. He don't want to recognize any of that. So that puts us at risk. at very, very bad risk. You know, he seems to know all. He seems to have all kind of degrees and all kind of degrees. He don't believe the scientists, the people that study and know and study the environment, a change and the earth and pollution. These scientists who studied for years and years. Our president, he seems to think he know everything about this.
Yeah, yeah. Starting to catch on to that. But one thing we can say about him, he doesn't let you know that he know it all.
Yeah,
so,
well.
Yeah, one thing I can say, he ain't hiding it.
Yes, and now we drinking filthy water and this air and the land. But here's the thing. The Lord Jesus promised his people, and in particular, a covenant promise concerning protection during all of this residue of evil, backlash, judgment that's coming upon the earth. So we have to stand in that holy place. And so we stand in the holy place on his wings. The believers are going to override this stuff, and a lot of this stuff will not come nigh them. I believe the blood of Jesus and the walking in the light of the blood and gospel will give us divine protection. I just believe that we have to release it upon our lives. We have to cooperate with wisdom and faith. And I strain my water. You have to sanctify and bless everything you put in your body now. You have to bless it double and pray and bless it, Lord, sanctify. I mean, if you don't, you do unwise. And then you have to use wisdom that God has given you to do your part. You know, be careful and wise what you do put in your body. The water's polluted, so use some common sense. Get a filter. Filter your water. I mean, if you can't do anything but boil your water, you know, boil it. Just use the wisdom of God that he's given us concerning life. And if then your problem won't suffer. But, you know, when the days of Israel, he gave them a blessed land. It was not polluted. He gave them Israel. He said, I'll give you a land that's blessed, choice, a place that's not polluted. He removed the evil people from it. And the evil that was on the land, the soil, the air, was not there like it is in America and like the rest of the world. So the backlash is, if we all violate the laws concerning our life and the violations of God's law concerning the land, the waterways, and the air, and concerning our trespassing on God's property, the earth, and misusing and mistreating it, he said there is a residual effect that will continue to come upon our heads in this last generation. So we see people having all kind of afflictions. I mean, all kind of afflictions of breathing and throat and the eyes, and there's all kind of afflictions that we open ourselves to. So we have to walk in the way of the Lord, no doubt about that. So anyway, women of God, missionaries, medical evangelists, wherever you are, wives, husbands, correspondents, ambassadors, teachers, mothers, wherever you are, we salute you today. We salute you and honor you, those that carrying on, seeking to make a life for you and your family and your loved ones, wherever you are in the world. And so I will bless. So I'm going to say I'm blessed. I'm in America, the United States, the most blessed land upon the planet. I'll say this, and this: America was chosen of the Most High God, and these last days to be the most blessed and most favorable Christian nation in the world, the center of world deliverance. So I'm honored and blessed that God planted me here, and I rejoice. But there's a lot of pollution and evil has come into America. Okay, now, my mind has been on Turkey and Indonesia, Sudan, and Syria, where many of the saints and missionary, Christian missionary, are suffering a lot, even in China. And my mind has been on them because the world, in particular in the Western Hemisphere, do not know how many people are being killed, murdered, and tortured because of the gospel in the rest of the world, especially in the Muslim nations and the Hindus and Buddhist nations, but mostly in the Hindu nations where they seem have a Sharia law to kill and murder Christians and torture them, and in China and communism. So we're fighting the evil, the wicked one, to take this gospel to ever where the Lord leads. So many Christians are laying their lives and obeying the gospel, and I commend them, men and women, that are taking this redemption gospel to dangerous places, and even some of them are in prison and don't come back. So let's commend these and pray for their families and their loved ones that are willing to lay down their life as Jesus commanded. Of course, we know that some people in America feel like some churches, they feel that their only missionary is sitting in their church and singing Amazing Grace every Sunday. But our missionary go beyond sitting in our churches, in our buildings, and just saying, I got a good time and I feel good.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. So, brother, have y'all been shouting the end time prophecies, you and Brother Robert, this week?
Well, what we've been doing, we're still dealing with the original setup. And as we get from the original setup, we're going into the falling away. And this is where, as they say, the gravy gets on the meat. That's when we get on and go through all of that, that's when it's gravy time. Right now, we've been dealing with the original setup. But like I said, brother, keep us in your prayers. This is something that we need to and have to do. And right now, we're giving the original setup that people may understand what needs to be restored and why.
Oh, yeah. Getting to that goody-goody part, the end-time prophecy concerning the restitution and restoration of all things. Wow. I think that is a very, very, very important part of God's plan that need to be unfolded in these last days to all people. So we have a charge, commandment, do so. And so I commend you, brother, and my prayers have been you that the angels of the Lord would surround you, the blood of Jesus would cover, the word of God would be as fire around you, and that you'll continue forth by the grace and the courageous boldness of the Holy Ghost. So keep moving forward. And I'm just keep sensing that one day, very soon, that we'll have a bowl, Super Bowl sister, and we have several now on joining with us. We're grateful for these sisters and people and the sisters in the background that are praying for us that are not necessarily on the program but are lifting us up. We're grateful for them. But I hear the voice of a evangelist woman boldly declaring just like, you know, Juanita Bynum, the band, how she used to do. And,
right.
But I believe, hallelujah. But I believe the Lord's going to anoint it, a couple of women. There's going to be a voice to cry out to the women of the world and to all people like Juanita Bynum used to do. And I think he's going to raise up and meet the need. And so, Lord, we're saying meet the need. Fearless and bold and courageous, like Deborah, like Phoebe, Priscilla, like Mary Elizabeth. And so we just believe the Lord is going to provide. We know the Lord is the provider. And so I'm looking for, hallelujah, that's to come to pass. Okay. We
Amen.
Decree this.
Amen.
We are making a decree before heaven and earth. And that, hallelujah. And as you and Robert go forth, that the angels of the Lord will girdle you about, and the Holy Spirit will just inspire you and anoint you and give you double anointing of Elijah to cry aloud and unfold the mysteries of God. We just giving you double daring, boldness, and courage. And that's be our prayer for you daily. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, tonight we'll just go through a few things since it's Women's Night. We want the sisters to have a 30-minute time where they can speak prophecy, a subject, a truth, or encouragement to all the women of the world. And if during the week, we hope the Holy Spirit will give you something special. Each of you will not fear and will not be afraid, but take on courage like Deborah, the judge of Israel, and Priscilla and Phoebe of the New Testament, and Mary and Elizabeth, who boldly stood up. Hallelujah. So we're looking forward to that program in the future where they'll just take over and say, the Lord, you know, want me to share this or give this. All right. We thank God for Sister Anderson, Brother, Sister Helen, great women, and those that behind them are lifting them up. Let's pray for Gladys Castor Moore, Eddie Secret's wife, Ola Donna and her husband, and they need a miracle. Mike Greenwell need a miracle. His wife need a miracle. Leonard Dre's wife need a miracle. Oh, just, it's so many miracles to need, brother. Just so miracles, so many afflicted and bound. And the crows need a supernatural miracle. So many people need a supernatural Amen. Miracle from the Lord. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Shantakalaba, Sindalabosha. We got to arm ourselves because the fight has just begun. But God has girded us for war, and he has commanded us to win. And so he commanded us to conquer. So I want to read something here right quick about what we were talking about last week. In the 12th chapter of Matthew, Jesus was dealing with two particular areas, he says, about the kingdom. And the area was house divided against itself cannot stand, or a nation divided against itself cannot stand, or a community cannot stand, or a business or whatever. Then he says that we have to understand to enter into Satan's territory and bind the strong man. And he talks about spiritual warfare and conquering and binding the strong man. And so I just want to read a couple of things. Then he talks about the unity of faith. I want you to start off by reading with the fourth chapter of Ephesians, beginning at verse 9 to 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 and 12. Why is it that Satan's strategy is to call chaos, confusion, strife, bitterness, and infighting in the earth now? You notice that there's infighting, strife, bitterness, chaos just about in every nation of the earth, right?
Amen.
And we see the effects of what we call Armageddon beginning. Shatakapasa. I said Armageddon has begun. And you see the spirit and the effects of it worldwide. And so this is the strategy of the enemy, the wicked one, and it has come into America. Even in every area, we find this Armageddon spirit of confusion and chaos has come into America. Okay. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, the revelatory man of God, the apostolic man who unveiled, called, chosen to unveil the mysteries of the kingdom, he and John the Revelator were the special ones. Now, he spoke in the fourth chapter a very important truth. And what verse? Beginning verse 9.
Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. It says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Now, there's seven things that he spoke of, the Apostle Paul gave as an outlay and a foundation, and confusion and separation has just devastated the Christian believers after the time of the early church and Paul and the 2,000 years that follow. We see seven things has to be restored. And in that fourth chapter, he states about seven important things. We're not going to get into these seven things that Paul spoke about concerning the body of believers in Christ. But he gave an insight, especially the latter day, what is happening and what has happened in the past and what is now prevailing even in the end time. But he talks about the Lord is going to establish something like he did it in the beginning. And he talks about the foundation of Christ. And he starts off by saying some important things we need to take note. Why Satan want to cause chaos, confusion, separation, divisions, and all kind of things. And that's his strategy to conquer. But we're going to see why the Lord Jesus laid this foundation work into, and the Apostle Paul explained it, and why this has to be restored completely in the latter day. Now, in order to overcome Satan and his kingdom and his plan, he lays a ministry, a church foundation, and works, and he lays it out in seven different things. And we're just going to read something about in the 12th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said a house divided with chaos, confusion, disunity will not be able to stand or withstand the devil and his plan. Let's see. Jesus says you got to conquer the strong man. It's causing all this problem. If you're going to go after who's behind this? You got to go back. You got to go up against that principality and that demon that's been set to cause all this problem. Ephesians says that in chapter 2, that we are seated in Christ when we are born of God, redeemed in the Holy Ghost sphere. We are seated with Christ in a certain place of authority in the heavenly realm. And we're seated with authority high above principalities, their own world, angelic ruler. But something is stopping people from understanding what Christ redeemed them from, because they think, some think very lightly and very little of why Christ redeemed us. But we are to conquer and we are to restore. Now, the principalities and powers that he's talking about in Ephesians are ruling in the second heavens, and they're coming to the earth, releasing demons and devils to call about this disruption, sin and idolatry and wickedness and rebellion. Now, we're going to talk about slightly when Jesus said in the 12th chapter, the devil's goal is to disrupt, divide, conquer, strife, cause bitterness, chaos, and infighting. Then he conquers that person and conquer that nation, conquer that home, conquer that relationship, to conquer them. Now, this is what's going on in the earth. That spirit is prevalent now in America, in the churches, in religion, education, business, in government, in the social, in the culture. That spirit is now prevalent and moving. But there is a counterattack the Lord has planned to overthrow and stop that. And we're going to talk about the counterintelligence, and that we are God's secret agents. He's raising up what we call Joshua people, who are called the secret agents against this attack upon our faith. He's going to raise up anointed people like Elijah. Now, these people that he's raising their generation is called like a type of Elijah, the prophet of Israel. And so they're going to have the spirit and power and authority of Elijah. Now, as of yet, we only see a very few people in the earth that has the spirit and power of Elijah. Very few. But there's a people that he is going to raise up shortly that's coming forth that's going to walk in the spirit and power of Elijah of the Old Testament. It's the unusual thing why Jesus said Elijah must come restore all things. Well, this victory, this triumph that the Lord called a counterintelligence is going to be brought about very soon. And there's a people that he's raising up from all parts of the world. They call his secret agents. I call it secret super counterintelligence agents. They are in the body of Christ. They are young, they are old from all nations, and he's getting ready to bring them forth. One of the reasons that Satan wants to kill all the babies and abortion, because he wants to stop this counterintelligence that God is going to raise up through a new nation and a new breed of Christians. So he figured one of his moves is to kill the babies, because some of these babies are ordained before birth to come and be a part of this mighty army. Oh, glory to Jesus. So we're going to talk about shortly. I want to read something. A house divided against itself. America's is falling because it's divided and destroying one another from within. Both governmental parties, businesses, education, social areas, the area of a culture, areas of race, community, church, religions, is divided and suffering and causing chaos. Why? Satan's strategy is to cause confusion, chaos, confusion, strife, bitterness. This way, he conquered that people and that nation without almost, firing a shot. He does it from within. The conquering strategy of Marxism is upon us. Socialist is overtaking America. What? Listen, Islam is using this strategy of fear and terror and murder and hate against America, against Christian and Jews. And so we're suffering on the attacks of the enemy from both sides. But here we got an answer, the 12th chapter of Numbers. What does the number say when they try to build a tower to a city to heaven, Brother Nate? Here's the strategy. The Lord is making us to see something. Was the book of Numbers 12 where they try to Nimrod, influenced by the devil, a mighty hunter, raised up all these people of that day to build a city, a tower into the heavens. And what did the Lord God do about that?
Confound the languages, scatter them across the face of the earth.
When Nimrod, the devil put in Nimrod's mind to build a city and a tower, a government that was going to rule, Satan want to counteract what the Lord God had planned, and he will build a city right there in that place, and his tower is going to reach into the heavens. And so the Lord God came and saw this. He saw what they were trying to do, and he made a statement. Here is the great God, Almighty, the Creator. He made this statement. He came down to see what they were doing. And he says, these people of one language, of one mind, and one purpose, and they are one. And they are going to accomplish. They are going to accomplish, even though what their desire is evil and against the will of God, because they are one, they are unified. The Lord God says, if we lead them along, they are going to accomplish it because they are one. So the Lord God confounded their languages and caused disunity among them. So they could not accomplish it. Notice that because they were not one and couldn't understand how to work together, the languages they had to stop. They were not able because they were effectively diffused and disunity, so they could not accomplish the evil that they had planned. Disunity. Now, what did Jesus, particular thing you said about the Son of God, the Son of Man, the seed of David, when he was ministering on the earth? You read the book of John, and here he reveals something very important. Jesus said, I cannot do anything of myself. That's what he said. Did he say that? Then he makes another statement. He made another profound statement. All of us have to come to grips with this. He says, I do nothing without my Father's saying so. Every word that I speak, it is the Father's words, not mine. I can do no, but as I see the Father work, so doeth I. My Father and I are one. And I do nothing unless the Father said do it. I speak no words, for all of my words that I speak are his words. My Father and I are one. Now, you keep saying that. You got to get what Jesus kept saying is, I honor my Father. I of myself can do nothing. My Father is greater than all. But I submit to everything that my Father say. Now, why he keeps saying that, I can do nothing of myself. It's my Father that does the work. The words that I speak, they're not my words. They're his words. The works that you see me do, it's him doing the work. The things that I have spoken, they didn't come from me. They're not mine words. They're his words. I never do anything by the Father. Now, he was in perfect unity with the Father, right? He kept saying
Amen.
That. He kept repeating this because we, you know why he kept repeating it? Because us human beings are kind of hard to get it at times, right?
Amen.
Right? We kind of hard to get
That's
some
right.
stuff. So he has to keep,
That's right.
So he has to keep saying that all the way through the scripture. My Father, I honor my Father. Don't honor me, honor the Father. The Father will give me my honor, the Son. You just honor the Father that sent me to do it to work. If you hate me, you don't hate me. You hate my Father that sent me. It's me, him you against. And if when I send my servants and you don't hear them, you're not against my servants. You're against my Father who sent them. I sent them. You against me. So he lays the groundwork about disunity. And the unity of evil, and the unity of good, and the unity of righteousness, and the unity of evil deception. Okay. Unity. Do you know that there's a prayer in the Bible that most people don't pay too much attention to? Do you know there's a prayer in the book that we call the abridged version of the Bible? There is a most important prayer in the Bible, and hardly very few people understand the greatness of that prayer or the importance. And in fact, it is probably the most important prayer in the whole Bible. But most people, a lot of people in Christendom, do not pay any attention to that prayer. Jesus prayed this prayer. I'm sure it's important. Jesus prayed this prayer and left it on record. John 17. It is the most revealing prayer in the whole New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3 are the prayers that Apostle Paul left on record. They are considered the second most important prayers. But the prayer that Jesus, in the 17th chapter before he went to Calvary, he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. But in this prayer, he gave us a revelation, a enlightenment about many things. Let's go to the 17th chapter and see why this prayer is the most important prayer in the New Testament setting. John 17. The devil do not want us to comprehend the worth and the value of this prayer. That's why most people don't pay any attention to it. Daniel prayed the third most important prayer in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He prayed the answer. He prayed the truth. He prayed the solution. He prayed what the problem was. Jesus prayed. Then he told us the ultimate answer to all of man's problem in the church in the last days, the body of Christ. He prayed it. He revealed it. It was manifested in his life, and he gave it to us in writing what we need in that prayer. John Gospel, chapter 17.
John chapter 17, starting at verse 1. The word of God said, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and sent Jesus, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and all and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world have hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they might all be one, may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world have not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare. And will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Lamb of God. You know, we go to a prayer, in the, I think in the fifth chapter of Matthew, when disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray like John, you know, taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus gave them a short principle type prayer. And short prayer is also a connection with John 17. And connected both of them together is a revelation, hallelujah, many eye-opening things the Lord wants us to know, especially in the latter days. That prayer that Jesus himself left on record, he prayed to the Father, hallelujah, is a solution, a answer to the problems and difficulties that will befall the latter-day believers. And he answers, Shaka, and he gives a joyous way out of this disunity, disruption, confusion, chaos that affects not only America as a nation, its government, its community, but most of all, he's speaking to the remnant of his people in the last days when all this confusion, strife, and bitterness, and suffering and agony and trials would come to test them. Now, the ministry of Jesus in his first coming, do you know that John, he says a statement that most people don't fully understand. Jesus made some statements in 11th chapter of Matthew, in the 17th chapter of Matthew. Jesus says, John the Baptist is the greatest prophet ever been born of a woman. Now, that's kind of troublesome, you know, when you read that statement. John, the one that baptized people of Zechariah and Elizabeth, his parents, said John's ministry on the earth, he said about his cousin John, there is not risen a greater prophet born of a woman than John the Baptist. Now, that's, of all the prophets in the Bible, why is Jesus putting such honor upon John, his cousin, who at the same at that time was already dead, already had his head cut off? He says of this man, the prophet of the highest, chapter 1, he's called the prophet of the highest. He's called the messenger of the covenant. The Spirit of God was on his father, and it's the angels speak. He shall go before the face of the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, these scriptures that I'm just speaking of has not been fully been fulfilled. Even though many people have thought they have already been fulfilled 2,000 years ago, is evident. It's definitely evident that these scriptures concerning the spirit and power of Elijah is not and has not been fulfilled. Jesus talks in the 17th chapter of Matthew about this oneness and unity, hallelujah, about the restoring of all things. Right there in the 17th chapter. This prayer is so important. When I got my attention, I was praying, and I don't know, was I fasting way back there? And he brought to my attention, he was about this prayer that Jesus prayed. Hallelujah. And many Christians and many Bible theologians don't even talk a lot about this prayer. Hallelujah. But it is the most important revelatory prayer in the whole scripture that we call the Bible. Listen. Do you know what Jesus said in the fourth chapter when he was fasting 40 days and night and the devil came to him? And when he got through with that little test, he said, man, told the devil, said, listen here, Mr. Devil, or whatever your name is, hello, Lucifer, Hillel, or whatever your name is, the rebellious one. Now, Jesus, he's the one that created Lucifer, because all things was created by the Lord Jesus.
Here's the mystery about it. When Jesus is talking to the devil on that path, he says, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right?
Amen.
But you know that the Bible does not contain, everything in the Bible does not proceed out of the mouth of God. People know that, right?
Well, we know some of them know.
Oh, okay. They don't, here's the distinction about the Bible. It's made of some things that spoke directly from the mouth of God, direct revelation. Some things are inspiration by the Holy Ghost. Some are presumptions. Some are man's mind. Some are history. Some are what the devil said. Some are what the pagans said. But every word, what I'm trying to say is the Bible is God's book, but every word in the Bible does not come directly from the mouth of God. Jesus talks about that he walked with a relationship that every word that came out of his mouth came from the mouth of the living God. Hallelujah. Because there would be this unity in every place in the earth, practically, everywhere. Chaos, confusion, separation, division. Communism, the spirit of communism, Marxism is a how you destroy America. Marxists had a plan how you conquer America. Said over 60 or 75 years ago, he had a plan how you conquer America. And you see that plan is working fairly good. Socialists, which came out of Marxism, connected, how you take over America, how you take over a Christian nation, how you just conquer a nation. One of the plans was I'm going to tell you, I'm going to talk about what the strategy was, but I'm going to tell you about one of the things. The communists and the socialists has released upon America, the Christian nation, drugs. That was one of their plans. And we got the most dopey nation in the earth almost, isn't
it? Amen.
I mean, drugs, just illegal drugs and destruction just coming out of nose everywhere. They even pass laws. You just smoke till you get enough, bro. Just smoke yourself. Smoke it, shoot it. It's always legal. Just make money. Now the government has put its approval in certain, you can smoke this stuff legally now, right?
Amen.
The second plan of Marxism and communism and the devil is that you take away the morality of a nation. It's moral fiber. Now everything goes. You don't have to be married. You can marry a dog. Two men can marry a cat. It don't make no difference. Just make you feel good. And that's working pretty good on America, right? But the Lord God has got a plan to counteract that devil. Hallelujah. I said the Lord God has got some secret agents that's coming. And this anointed army just like Elijah. You know how Elijah stood against Ahab and Jezebel?
Amen.
Do you know that spirit of Ahab and Jezebel is in America? In the world?
That's right. That's right.
And Elijah stood up against that spirit of witchcraft, sorcery, divination, paganism, abortion, homosexual. You know that spirit of Ahab? That's what it represents, all that you see working in America. Hallelujah. And Elijah withstood it by himself. That anointing, that authority that Elijah had. Now, we know that that authority power is not working, but in a few places in America, just a very few places. It's not hardly, nowhere hardly in America. It's very tab. You can't hardly find a few men or a few women walking in it. Hallelujah. But after this year, brother, now you're just going to have to check this out. After this year, you're going to begin to see a shaking and a wave of these new breed of believers that the Lord has preserved and raising up. After 2020, you're going to begin to see some. Hallelujah. Okay, brother, I done come to the end of my journey about disunity. Now, when Jesus operating his ministry, I want you to read something in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, and we're going to find out what is it part of the thing that the Lord wants to restore in Matthew about this restitution. Well, we're going to see what Jesus' ministry began to do, and so we can follow in his footsteps. Because the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. Well, let's get the footsteps in Jesus Christ our Lord. And the same footstep, God's going to restore. Ilorobo Shata. Iyakandorobo Sita. 12th chapter of Matthew. Let's see what we got here. We're just going to read a couple of verses. And, wow, let me see where it went. Okay. Beginning at verse 13.
Matthew 12, chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. The word
yep,
says,
Jesus.
Then say he to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And charged
did you get
them.
That? You see, we're following the footsteps of Jesus now. We're going to find out what has to be restored. Do you know that some Christian, good, loving, caring people, reject the latter-day move and works of Jesus in this area? They don't believe. Unbelief is one of the worst sins in the last days. Israel could not enter the promised land because of the sin of unbelief. But we're going to find unbelief and traditions of man is blocked. Even in different churches, a lot of the church world, if you were to say, stretch forth your hand, oh, the devil did that. God don't do that anymore. You just can't do that. Okay? Read on.
And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, and whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? As he heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if
now
I
listen.
By Beelzebub.
What about Beelzebub?
He said, if I by Beelzebub cast out, whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they should be
question.
Your judges.
Now, this is the question. They know that you stop that. Well, if I cast the devils out by who do your children cast them out? Now, here's the question that come to us in the latter day. Those people that are good, loving, caring, probably Christians, do not believe that Jesus Christ is the same today. Now, we just read what Jesus said, and we will notice that the churches, the groups of his synagogue, want to put him out, call him the devil, and stone him. You know that there are Christians and churches today so divided, so unbelief, that if you would do such a thing like this, they would call you the devil. Even some good Christian people, if you would have put up, do what Jesus did, you could stretch forth your hand. And some churches, some Christian believers, I'm not talking about the pagans, I'm talking about the division of the lack of understanding that's in the light of God. Now, you can't cast out devils because we don't believe in all that. And we don't believe the only way God can heal. You know that some people are good. They think God can only heal one way, their traditional thinking way. But here Jesus breaks all traditions. That's what this new move, this new believers, is going to break all the traditions of churches. And they're going to do exactly and bring forth just like Jesus Christ did in the New Testament. Now, for example, when I first started out, I didn't have, you know, this so much this unbelief in my life and listening to the fear of the man, you can't do this and you can't do this. This is not our way. This is not the church way. You get so sick of this. You get so sick of man's way and man's thinking and tradition and churches. You get so tired of it. Well, you know, brother, you can only do it this way and put the tap this way and this way. It's got to be perfect. You get so sick of that stuff, you just want to vomit. Jesus met the same opposition in his day. I remember when I first started with at the very outset of the Lord, in fasting and praying, concentrating yourself to Christ. I had just came to the knowledge of Christ and of this Elijah way, and I took the elder to pray down the street. It was just he and I, and we prayed for this boy, had his withered arm, a little young boy, and the lady wanted elders, so I took the elder around the corner to pray for this young man with a withered arm, a withered young man with a withered arm. So we got in the house, and I began to pray silent in myself how to pray for him. Do you know that some people are bound by their own thinking and tradition that you can only pray for a person one way?
Amen.
Do you understand that, brother?
Amen.
And this is why we don't see the results that we see like in Jesus. It's one of the reasons. Because we got this one little narrow way that we done picked out of the Bible, and the only way, that's why we don't see the miracles and the working, because we don't follow the Jesus pathway. We don't follow the footsteps. This is what he's talking about, unity with the Father. Not unity with tradition of men, but unity with the Spirit and with the gospel, but following the unity of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus told the man, said, stretch forth your hand. Oh, you can't do that way, brother. Our church say you can't do it that way, right?
Amen.
We don't believe that. You must be doing it by voodoo. We don't believe that. There may be people that are imitating that, the demons and everything, but there is a genuine. So we went into this house, and me being young, and I just started with the Lord, and I just believe what the Lord's word say. You know, how you start with the Lord, you ain't got all this unbelief pumped into you. It's all traditions of men pumped into you. You just believe the Lord Jesus. So we got in the house, and the young boy, she held him in her arm, the lady. The elder went and prayed for him, and his arm is with him. And hallelujah. Now, the elder I took, he prayed. Then he asked me to pray. But I prayed a little different. I was led to pray a little different than he prayed. Hallelujah. So I felt the leading. Now, here's the point about the leading of the Holy Ghost. If you want to see the works of God, you have to follow the pattern in the scripture, but you have to follow direct leading of the Holy Spirit in many cases. You got to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit telling you how to operate. Jesus always did this. I said Jesus always did this. He operated this way. The apostles that he chose in his first century, they operated this way. So when I prayed, I gave a command. I didn't just pray, but I gave a command. And I said by faith, I gave command to that young boy's arm. Hallelujah. And it was a short command. And I heard with it, it's done. There was no change in his arm. It was done. The withered arm was done. I heard it. Now, when we left his house, we didn't see it immediately. But she told his arm is straight. His arm is done. Now, if I hadn't followed the leading of the Holy Spirit and just did traditional man's way, I might have not seen the result. There is another incident. I just began to, with the Lord, I began to have my my special days to fast and pray and consecrate to the Lord. And he led me to this house not far from where I lived at. I was witnessing to the houses in that block. And as I came and witnessed, the lady called me upstairs. Come upstairs. There was a lady who had a cast on her leg. And she couldn't walk. She was in a wheelchair. So I was led to fast 3 days and make myself ready to bring deliverance to her. I went back, and the Lord commanded me. Now, here's the following, how Jesus followed the Father. Jesus told me how to get this woman healed and delivered. When I followed the instruction of the Holy Spirit, I went into the house, and I did what the Holy Spirit told me directly to do. Then he says, now command her. I didn't anoint her with no oil. I didn't set her in no chair. I didn't tell her, you get the way you got to sit. You got to do this perfectly. I obeyed the instruction of the Holy Spirit and followed the pattern of the Lord Jesus and ordered his steps. And I command her to get out of that wheelchair. When the Lord told me to stop, said, now do it now. Hallelujah. And I command her to walk. And that cast, and out of the wheelchair, she jumped out of that. She jumped out of that wheelchair. Now, we're learning something from this, following the footsteps and the instruction of the Lord Jesus, and not disrespecting anybody, but you have to be led by the Holy Spirit and follow the instruction if we are going to see things done just like Jesus did them, like the apostles did of old. Because a lot of people still have not been fully understanding the restoration of all things. Okay. All right. So Jesus walked in perfect unity with the Father. He was unified with the Father. Hallelujah. So you got something to say, brother? Okay, then. Yeah, I didn't get you in. Come on. I didn't mean to leave you out. I apologize. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I mean, you're perfectly right about that. You know, I think that many miss out on the leading of the Spirit of God in ministry. And like you said, many times we're just, you know, just stay with a certain way. And we go to thinking that, you know, we have to minister to everyone the same way. And I found that by the leading of the Spirit, you know, you're not going to always lay hands on people. You will speak the command of faith. And some of them you would do even as Paul, as you preach the gospel, you're going to perceive that they got the faith to be healed without you laying a hand on none at all. So, you know, I agree that that's one of the things that in the restoration that has to be, that we have to get back to that. In ministry by being led by the Spirit of God.
Yes. We have to walk in the footsteps in the life of Jesus. I remember that when you first start out with the Lord, your mind and your heart is united with the Lord, and the Holy Ghost is taking preeminence in your life and the gospel, and you don't fear man or devil. You just believe with the word of the Lord. I remember I was up ministering, and I was ministering, and the lady said her ears, when I began to speak, her ears was unstopped. We have to get back to the pathway, you know, from man's way and walking in following the pattern and the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called Elijah restoring all things. Now, we came across with a couple of demons. Everybody is not qualified. That's why some people are scared and don't do it, because they're not qualified. I understand why they don't deal with demons or demon bondage.
You're kind of going in and out a little bit there.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you clearly now. Oh, yeah.
You know why many people don't deal with demons and bondages? And certain churches don't even recognize that or even pray that or even do it. And a lot of only... most Pentecostal churches have more revelation knowledge on dealing with demons and bondage than most believers. I give the Pentecostal churches who God has used greatly and given more insight, and a lot of the Pentecostal churches and holiness churches are far ahead of many other churches in this area. The full gospel churches, I give them great admiration. But in Brother Clark and I used to deal with a lot of demon-oppressed people. So we couldn't have anybody else in the room because there was really very few people who had faith or believed in authority. You could not do them a lot of because these...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you clearly
now.
We want to welcome on Sister Anderson. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
Oh, God bless you, brothers. God bless you. Thank God for you.
Oh.
I was listening, and I think, and I praise the Lord. You know, different things that you were saying, the Lord has been dealing with me on different things. And I heard, you know, about the different areas of prayer. Also, you know, he's been dealing with me on different ways, too, of prayer and how precious, you know, it is that a lot of people now, they don't want to talk about the blood and how important and how valuable. And people, a lot of people don't even know what the blood represents. And he's been bringing out to me about the precious oils of Jesus. And I just thinking, and I praise the Lord because he has been dealing with me on some things. And I just thinking, and I praise the Lord for it, for, you know, the different ways that the Lord would give you to pray, different areas he give you to pray in. And he's been opening up to me that a lot of people teach about the 10 virgins and how five was wise and five was foolish. But I don't think they really, a lot of people teaching on that, and I don't think they, from what the Lord's been giving me, really understand what that is all about. And I just think, and I praise the Lord how, you know, he's been dealing with me. And I thank him because he meets with me. He meets with me. And I know if you set aside time and meet with him, he will be right there to meet with you. And I just thank and I praise the Lord for what he's doing in my life.
Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. And we are very grateful for what the Lord is doing. Amen. Glory to God. And he is doing a marvelous work in the wonder in these last days. Amen, brother.
Yes,
am I on?
Yes, you are.
Am
you
I
are.
On?
Yes, you are.
Hear
we
you.
Hear you loud and clear.
Okay, I got cut off.
Right.
Go ahead. I am blessed to have worked with the Chicago 2 daring, courageous men, Brother Crockett and Brother Clark. And we had to deal with some very strong demonic bondage in people. And that little stuff like putting it all and sitting in the chair and said correct, that stuff ain't going to work in many cases. I want to say when you're dealing with demons and bondages, some people will stay at home and run because when Brother Clark and I had to deal with these people, and Brother Clark was to feel his bold, a man of authority and power and faith, and he was not afraid or fearful, and he was we were challenged by people with demon or possession, and all the time we had to clear the church because you know how the chairs and rolling the floor and holding people that didn't mm-hmm. we wouldn't go with somebody we had did it in a certain church we got put out. That's why you.
Yeah.
But anyway, the daring men, Brother Clark and Brother Crocker, we would have to wrestle in the floor and hold people. You're fighting demons, violent demons. We had to actually hold them, wrestle with them in the floor. We wrestled out against principalities and powers, too, that we had to wrestle with them. So, hallelujah.
Amen.
You,
thank you, Jesus.
And today we need a new breed of apostolic believers who are walking with the Father like Jesus was and not feeling, but bold. Bold and courageous. Can you hear me?
Okay,
now,
we can hear
yes.
you clearly more.
Now, in certain churches, if a demon-possessed person come in there, a brother, but what if that brother won't do anything? The messenger says, qualify to cast out demons, right?
Amen.
To those that qualify.
Qualify to be leaders.
Matthew 73. So, in certain Christians, they did not go overseas. I was not
I would not tell certain Christian believers go overseas because they'll come back running. Now, I'm not trying to be funny or try to put nobody down, but I'm trying to tell you how serious it is. Because Jesus demonstrated us the footsteps of his life, what the restored Church of Christ is to look like and do like. And Jesus, half of his ministry was casting out demons and breaking strongholds.
Yes.
Now, I know that don't fit everybody, and it don't even fit some present-day churches who claim that they are the one. But you never see these works in certain groups because, you know why? They're not qualified. Well, I'm not trying to put nobody. I'm just telling you, like, hey, this is for real. So he started talking, but you had to put up or shut up.
Yes.
I mean, no, that's putting it to the curb. What a rubber meter. You even had to put up like Elijah did. Shut up, Elijah. I'll put up. When Elijah had to deal with 400 witches and warlocks, what you going to do? Shut up, run, I'll put up. Which one you going to do?
You got to put up.
But you going to either run.
Shut up or put up. Don't have to put up.
So we got to get there. And we got to get there in a hurry. And this is part of the thing that has to be restored. Nobody talk about this part of the restoration. But there are seven things the Lord says in Ephesians 4 where we close. Where is Sister Helen? And Sister Allison.
Oh, yes.
Can you hear?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
I lost it for a minute.
Who messing with my phone, Nate? Brother Nate, who messing with my phone?
Well, we know who don't want you to get that word out, brother.
If you go overseas, brother, you think that you got demons over here. I call them the little Sasquatch demons over here in America. I call them the little brody demons. You want to see some real demons? Go to India, Africa, Sudan, or these Saudi Arabia countries. Now, if you want to prove that you are God's chosen and you're anointed, I got some drug addict houses. I got some homosexual pedophiles and some all kind of demons. I want to see take you there and prove that you are the only one. Is that okay?
Amen. Brother,
when you
gotta,
said to the world, I'm the only one this and the only one this, you either had to put up
gotta,
or shut
we gotta,
up.
We got a caller here, brother, since we got 11 minutes. Let me see who this caller is. God bless you. You're on God's Word of Man broadcast. Who are we speaking with?
Miss Helen.
Oh, Sister Helen, how you doing?
I couldn't get on. I could only listen, and my phone wouldn't even dial the number, and so I had to try to get Libby's phone to dial the number. My phone wouldn't even dial in.
Okay.
What's
well,
up?
Keep doing the work of evangelist, sister.
We got to walk softly and carry a big step and hit some of these principalities in power that's interfering.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
We got to sharpen my sword.
Yes,
we got to sharpen our sword, the word of God, the two-edged sword, against these demonic powers in the heavens interfere with our government, with our cities, our community, our homes, and it got a lot of churches running scared.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Some are wise and some are careful, and that's good. But I'm talking about abject fear. God has not given it the spirit of fear, but love, faith, peace, power, and a sound mind.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
The devil, you know why the angel messenger came and gave us a command after all of these years, the angel that came with the Elijah message in message 88, therefore, message 88, therefore, why is he saying, therefore, come against him?
Come against him. Amen.
Why? Because it's not being done.
That's right. That's true.
Amen.
If it was done, he would not have to say that.
Amen.
Listen.
Amen.
We have to wake up and put on the spirit and power of Elijah with authority, because the world is not going to believe until we walk and show the footsteps of Jesus. They are not going to be convinced.
Amen. Amen.
Elijah, the prophet of Israel, faced 800 top witches and warlocks. And by the grace and the life of God, have been around strong witches and warlocks and sorcerers. And if we want to play safe, we can stay in our buildings and our pulpit and say hallelujah, and the world going under destruction, and we can just so say, I'm so glad we're the only one.
Mm-hmm.
It is getting to a place where we had to repent and get the spirit and power of Elijah working. It's the footsteps of Jesus.
Yeah.
Order our steps. Whose steps are we to be ordered in? The likeness of Jesus went to a place where the man, can you hear?
Yes.
Amen.
The demon do not want this message to get out.
Amen.
You don't want this awakening. I know I'm not lack. Hey, my name is Brother Lee. I know I'm not lack. I'm an agitator.
Hey.
Brother Lee, put my name out there. Brother Lee, the agitator.
Amen.
Amen.
So, from whatever y'all sign my name, Brother Lee, agitator. And I will rejoice with you.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Amen. I love you with the love of Jesus, and I'm not fearing man. I'm not fearing man or the devil. It's time to wake up and put on the Lord Jesus, because the world is in a mess. The world is in a mess. America's in a mess.
Yes.
Okay. Sister Helen, are you going to pray the closing prayer, dear Sister Helen?
Yes, I will. Oh, God in heaven, Lord Jesus, we come before you, Lord Jesus, thanking you and praising you for all things, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your long-suffering, Lord God. Father God, we just truly thank you on tonight, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this radio broadcast that is going forth all over the world, Lord God. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you will touch hearts and minds of your people everywhere, Lord God, that their eyes will come open unto thy true Father, in thy precious and holy name, Lord God. And Father God, we do pray for those that's in Turkey and Asia, Lord God, and all the other places, Lord God, that is suffer persecution for thy name's sake, Lord God, that you will look on them, Lord, and that you will have mercy, that you will strengthen them, Lord God, even their families, Lord, in thy precious and holy name, Lord God. And we ask you, Father God, that you will look on the men and women all over the world in the other countries, Lord God. Lord God, they're suffering, Lord Jesus, that you will stretch forth your mighty hand, Lord, and that you will save and deliver them, Father God, in thy precious and holy name. And Father God, we do thank you and we do praise you. And we give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you right now. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well,
yes.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Praise
and
the Lord.
And we're
going
to target
God
the devil in his kingdom.
Amen.
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 And we thank God for another blessed broadcast. Don't forget tomorrow night, another Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. Therefore, we love you all. From Brother Lee and Brother Nate, Sister Teague and Sister Anderson, God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.